Marco, Marco, Marco.
Just a wonderful shot from Mark Allen. Mark Allen plays his second shot, and that's a beauty as well.
Marco, Marco, Allen, Allen.
Oh, terrific shot from Mark Allen.
Mark Allen couldn't have pitched it any closer to the edge of the green. A beautiful shot, super round the goal. Very mature performance. He does finish well.
Oh, I've just crashed, KB. I've just crashed.
Oh, jingo.
On Hungry for Sport, time to step onto the 18th green with the people's champion, Mark Allen.
Say Geronimo. Say Geronimo. Say Mark Allen. G'day, Marco.
G'day, KB. It gets me moving, that song, too, these days. I'm jumping around in the living room here.
Oh, it's a great song. Off the SMS machine. Hope you asked a real pugilist in Mark Allen his opinion of the big fight. Marco would have done a better job in the ring yesterday. Fighter, courageous, no fear. Hashtag.
I didn't see the flurry of punches that Manny Pacquiao normally delivers. So, look, he said afterwards he had a sore right shoulder, didn't he? So maybe the jabbing right shoulder of Manny, he's left-hander, maybe that one got in the way a little bit, but Floyd Mayweather, I'll tell you what, talk about an elusive boxer, he was unbelievable, and I think his dad, Floyd Mayweather Sr., said, don't worry, the fight's already over. I think he said that on Saturday. Trust me, the fight's already over. We know what we're going to be doing, and he didn't take any risks, that's for sure, Floyd Mayweather. But yeah,
was it boring? Was it boring, Mark?
No. Look, I loved it. I loved the build-up was sensational, and you know, just to see all the excited people at the MGM Grand, you know, before the fight was great. Now, you know, people want a slugfest, and you know, they want to see blood and all that kind of stuff. But just to watch Floyd Mayweather, the way he is so elusive, and the way he moves that left shoulder of his just seems to stay in the way of his head. And then even when he was covering up, you know, he was covering up at the right time on the ropes, and Manny Pacquiao just couldn't hurt him. So, look, if you I reckon there'll be a lot of people out there, KB, who are disappointed that Floyd Mayweather Jr. didn't get his head knocked off. And it looked like Pacquiao didn't try to knock his head off. And that would have disappointed a lot of people. But just to watch Floyd Mayweather duck and move, and yes, he's just unhittable at this level. So that was good to watch in itself.
Now, I was told by a couple of mates who watched the fight that Jamie Foxx sang the national anthem.
Yeah, he was hopeless.
And they said he was a disgrace.
He was hopeless. He was absolutely hopeless. I don't know how. He actually, I think he had an earpiece in there early. And you know, sometimes if you do that sort of stuff, you can hear an echo in your ear. So he quickly pulled the earpiece out. It must have been a tiny little delay and it's put him off, but he never recovered. he never recovered, KB, from the echo. He was atrocious. Absolutely. So what about Jimmy Kimmel? Did you see Jimmy Kimmel in the background? Now, Jimmy Kimmel, for people who don't know, is a comedian who has his own talk show, and Manny Pacquiao regularly goes on. And Jimmy Kimmel was in the background dressed like... who's the other bloke? Bieber. He was dressed like Bieber normally does and was going to be, you know, the Pacquiao version of Bieber coming out. So that was funny as well. But
why was Jamie Foxx... I know he was in Ray, the movie with Ray Charles. I'm not quite certain whether he sang himself or just mine. But why would you get Jamie Foxx to actually sing the national anthem?
I don't know. He's probably put his hand up. You know, Jamie Foxx, there's a good chance for Jamie Foxx to be seen in front of an enormous worldwide audience. It was probably... His management said, hey, our man can do this. And both of them have said, yeah, no worries, get him out there. But no, he was hopeless.
Well, I tell you who's not hopeless, Rory McIlroy, because the world's number one's come through and he's won the World Match Play Championship over Gary Woodland. And well done to John Sendon, because he got through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, look, John Sendon played extremely well. And, yeah, when I think about John Sendon, he doesn't strike me as a match player, to tell you the truth. Normally, you've got to be very hot with the putter to get the job done in match play, but we know he's not a hot putter, and for him just to get through that round robin series at the start and make it through to the sudden death was fantastic for him. I reckon a lot of people have probably missed what Roy McIlroy did to Jim Furyk on the 18th hole to get into the final. He actually eagled the last hole, holed about a, I don't know, looked like a 40 or a 50 foot putt on the 18th hole of the semi-final. So he held this massive putt to keep Jim Furyk out of the final, which, in my book, did the rest of the golfing world an absolute favour, because we hate watching Jim Furyk play. He's bloody hopeless.
You do.
He even got beaten in the consolation match as well.
Yeah, so Danny Willett.
Right, Danny Willett smashed him there as well. So the less we see of Jim Furyk in the world of golf these days, the better in my book.
Well, he was probably still rattled by that McIlroy putt.
Good. I hope he was. He probably couldn't handle just how beautifully quick Rory McIlroy, plays his golf, doesn't stuff around, looks and hits, and that's the way the golf should be played. But if you haven't seen Jim Furyk carry on lately, it's disgraceful what he is doing. And the example that he shows to the rest of the world is appalling. And the less we see of this man, the better our great game will be.
Now, some people may say that the dust-up between Keegan Bradley and Miguel Angel Jimenez was even as good as the Pacquiao Mayweather dust-up, because it's very rarely that we see two golfers yelling and maybe screaming at each other out on the golf course.
Well, it's what match play does to you, KB. It's the only time that in golf you actually feel a bit of niggle, and you can get away with a little bit. And these guys, they both hadn't won a game in their round robin. They were both 0-2, so it didn't even matter. But Jimenez came in and told Keegan's Bradley to shut up. Bradley didn't like that, and away they went. And there's even an Australian connection, because Russell Swanson, one of our Australian rules officials, and he was a very good player in his day, pretty good player in his day, old Russell. He did some pretty good things out there. He was right in the middle of it, KB. So Russell, who I promise you would not hurt a fly, was in the middle of it, and he didn't know what to do. So we'll try and get Russell Swanson on at some stage, I reckon, this radio station of ours, and ask him for the lowdown, because it's pretty funny. But look, in match play, KB, I've been in situations like that when you almost come to blows. It's pretty funny. Ross Gordon, who used to play for, I just remembered his name, Ross Gordon, who used to play for Metropolitan. Huntingdale was playing Metropolitan, and we were extremely close to punching on.
Yeah.
And my dad was, I don't think Dad was caddying for me, but Dad was almost going to, Dad was in the middle of it. So
was that the famous match play game, Mark, when your opponent's ball went next to a tree that was about 80 years of age, and they found an 80-year-old stake still somehow embedded in the trunk, and they got relief?
A stake was leaning against the trunk. So I'd hit a drive, I promise you, 350 yards down the middle of the hole, just about to rip him apart. And Ross Gordon had hit a big block. He was a left-hand. Big block against a tree, gone. Game over. Game 100% over. And there was an old stake. The stake itself must have been 60 years old. They must have found it somewhere. Someone just leant it against the tree, and then he got a drop. So I was filthy. We'd already had a punch-up back on the fifth hole at Metropolitan, and I had the shakes in the end, and he's knocked it on, two-putted, and I knocked it on and three-putted from the front edge, and he won. An absolute disgrace. I still see Ross Gordon from time to time, and we always have a laugh about it.
I think that Angel and Jimenez, Miguel, and Keegan Bradley, I think there was it was over a ruling too. I got a feeling that they're unhappy about some sort of ruling, but it was interesting. I think that's what they're arguing about.
I'd like to get Russell Swanson on. He would have been the man to give that ruling, because he was ruling for that group. So I'll tell you what, KB, I'll dig up Russell's number and I'll send it through to the chosen one. And if you can get him on, that'd be good. Maybe today or tomorrow.
Okay. And as far as the LPGA is concerned, NB Park,
who's
got the slowest swing ever in the history of golf, shot a 65 and won by three shots, and she still now is, what, number two in the world, still behind Lydia Ko, who had probably one of her worst tournaments since turning pro. She finished 41st.
41st? What happened? Was she playing left-handed this week, Lydia Ko? That's a disaster.
Well,
Carrie Webb was pretty close to the lead. She was one shot off the lead going into the last day, but only shot 70.
Yeah.
And I say only, KB, I used to work at the golf club where this tournament was played, at Los Colinas. It's in Irving, Texas. That was my summer job once upon a time. That's actually, KB, where I woke up Byron Nelson on this golf course.
When they thought he was dead.
Well, I was absolutely sure he was dead. I thought I was going to be famous. I was going to be the man who actually found Byron Nelson, but he was just sleeping.
Someone got you, didn't they? That's right. He was dead in his golf cart, and they forced you as a young kid to go across there and just confirm, that there was no pulse.
Well, he was dribbling, KB. So the great Byron Nelson was sitting in his golf cart under this, he was up in a corner somewhere, and his head was on his chest, and there was dribble and, it was a mess coming out of his mouth. And I, for all the world, thought he was dead, absolutely dead. And, of course, what you do when you... Well, it's the only time I've ever been around someone. I went up just to poke him. I just put my little finger in his shoulder, and nothing happened. And I did it a little bit harder. And he went, ah, 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 and woke up. But I was pretty sure he was dead. But that's the golf course where I used to work, so that's where it all happened. And to see Imbie Park, who is a former world number one, come back. Not many players, KB, in the history of golf, go to world number one, lose number one, and then come back. Mm. It's very, very rare. So I'm not sure this is going to catapult her past Lydia Ko anytime soon. But it will be interesting to see where she goes from here. I reckon in the men's we've seen Rory McIlroy lose number one, then back to number one. Tiger Woods lose number one, go back to number one. I reckon Greg Norman lost number one and ended up back to number one. But it doesn't happen too often in the world of golf. Mm. So, Imbie Park, she had a great run in those major championships. Was it last year or the year before where she won the first three? And she could have done something special at the British Open, the ladies' British Open, but didn't manage to do it. But if she can get back to world number one, it's a feat that not many people can do.
Mark Allen, of course, is always brought to you by Berwick Mercedes-Benz. You can catch up with Marco tonight, along with the Ox as well. As we leave, Marco, I'm going to play a bit of Jamie Foxx singing the American National Anthem yesterday. Yes.
Just before you do, can I just say to my great sponsor, Craig Howard at Berwick Mercedes-Benz, on Saturday night, KB, they celebrated being the number one dealership in Australia 2 years in a row. They had a massive celebration. I couldn't get there, but I just want to thank Craig Howard and congratulate what he's done. But to get a dealership like that and make it 2 years in a row, the dealership of the year, it gives you an example and a reason we could get down there and see some of the service that they provide. And the cars are sensational. They are spectacular.
Most of the time they break down, don't they?
No, they don't. They are sensational. Even when you crash them, KB, nobody gets hurt. And I can
vouch for that. Oh, I've just crashed, KB.
Oh, jingos.
I was fine. I was absolutely fine. And KJ, who was in the back, didn't even know we had a crash. Just kept on playing Angry Birds. Didn't even know.
Mark, always great to catch up. We'll catch up with you and the Ox tonight.
Oh, are we going to hear Jamie?
Yes, here comes Jamie Foxx singing the American National Anthem.
He's a hack.
Which Mark Allen said was an absolute disgrace.
He's a hack.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight.
Coming up after the break, get something off your chest. 942-9-16. What did you see on the weekend you want to get off your chest? So it's always your forum to fire up. You may want to talk about your ticks and crosses, but you can get something off your chest. And I've got a bunch of great, great prizes to give away to our best callers. 942-9-11-16, 0433-98-11-16. You may want to get Jamie Foxx off your chest as well.